Blog Talk Radio.
It is Sunday, June 12, 2016, 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time in America. I'm Grantham Taylor Hughes for my show, The Grantham Taylor Hughes Show. My guest host, Gabriella Foster, experienced some technical difficulties. She'll be with us in a moment.
I'm right here.
All right, and therefore I delayed the... But that's always funny, right? And here she is, Gabriella Foster. Hi, Gabriella. How are you?
Hi. How are you? I'm fine.
Anyway, we are very professional on this show. We never make errors in protocol. Just remember that we're perfect on this show. We never make errors. So people can really appreciate our high professional caliber behavior. Correct?
That's correct. We want everyone to be well aware of that in case they wondered.
We're very serious. We never fool around. We never make crack jokes or laugh. We have SD, is what is known as serious disease, for those journeyman people that know what I'm talking about. It sounds like Groucho Marx. You know what I'm talking about. Oh, boy. I mean, how can you be so light with the idea of international bankruptcy, you know? Don't take it seriously because of that, because it's supposedly a serious subject. I mean, it is and it isn't from the standpoint that it's very ridiculous because we have a bankruptcy because they don't understand mathematics. I mean, nobody can really add properly in terms of it just doesn't work. Think of a simple child's practice that they can't get correct and claim that they do, right? Oh, yes, we can account for every penny. Oh, can you really? Not even close. I mean, that's the ridiculous side of this. Don't you agree that it's totally absurd in the fact that they can't be accountable for all the money? Don't you think it's absurd?
Yeah, of course. We know that's insane, but I don't know what else to say about it. We talk about it every week.
Well, it's supposed to be normal behavior to add 1 + 1 = 2, but you get 10 people do it and somebody's going to come up with the wrong answer. I mean, can you believe it? It's absurd. I say that, but really, if you go and practice it, people would be amazed. You think it's some kind of magic trick or something that 10 people can't add properly. Yeah. So why would accountants be any different? Well, they took a few courses on bookkeeping and accounting and have general accepted accounting principles, and therefore they're perfect at measuring mathematics and nobody else can do it. Hey, I like me this week. This is pretty good stuff.
Good. Everyone should like
thank you very much. It's totally ludicrous. And then people, like I said, you know, they have serious disease. They make a drama out of the whole thing, right? Because they can't be accountable for it.
Mm-hmm.
You see, so therefore, why don't we take light of the whole thing? Because it's ridiculous. It truly is. It's just absurd. We all think we're real sophisticated and intelligent, and we can't even add 1 + 1 and get 2. Is that what 1 and 1 is? Is it 2?
I believe it's still the same as it's always been.
I can't
check
get
on
it
that
right
for
either.
You. I'll get out my arithmetic book and check on it for you.
Yeah, the arithmetic. There we go, arithmetic. Very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Basic arithmetic is not done properly, people, and that is the nature of banking. They think that you can balance accounts, but boy, what a gigantic mess that is. I mean, it's just huge. And just like this week, one of my people sent me a DTC. It's like a Euroclear. And people need to know this. It's a screenshot of a document that shows a certain amount of coinage on, or money, not coinage, but a certain amount, all right? So there's a market for this. They have these different screens that you can go to that bankers pay a lot of money just to observe a document. Now, they might pay $100,000 or more just for the privilege of looking at a document they haven't committed to. See, but then when you're talking millions of dollars, $100,000 is not a lot if they see something that they like. So what happens is they pay for the privilege. It's like rental. You rent the privilege to observe something. Like going to a circus and paying a cover charge. Same thing. I mean, it really, I like that analogy, don't you? Boy, I'm hot today. Boy, people listen to this show. This is a good one, I'm telling you.
Well, you do pay to get into a circus.
Thank you. It's like going to a circus and getting a cover, paying a cover charge, right?
But you do pay an entrance fee.
Well, there you go. See, so that's what you're paying. Entrance fee to observe a document. And if you agree to it, now you pay the discount rate. So if it's $100 million, now you may pay up to $80 million for the document. And then what they do is they go in and sell it to an account holder that might be a retired person that was very successful in business, and they have this huge amount of money in their bank account. Now, you have to understand, this is an isolated incident. It happens thousands of times per day. Isn't that crazy? And what I explain to my people, I say, look, a DTC is simply an instrument that didn't get sighted on a receiver's side, okay, and now they have a bank guarantee that's floating around in space. So what do? They put it on this website, so to speak, and charge a bunch of money to sell it to bankers. See? So all it was a mishap of sending a SWIFT. But it happens thousands of times during the day because they don't understand the basic process of SWIFTing. They don't understand it. It's just so remarkable about we think we're all sophisticated adults and we can barely tie our shoes. I like that. That's pretty funny, right? Barely tie your shoes. That's why people wear penny loafers or loafers. Cole Haan loafers, yeah. Name dropping there. Thank you, Cole Haan. They paid me a lot of money to say that.
There's many kinds of loafers. Cole Haan doesn't have the market on loafers.
I didn't say that. Gosh, my gosh. But it's amazing. In certain lists, they're considered one of the top dress shoes, and there's Grantham Taylor Hughes's fashion statement for the week.
And I went to school. The cool loafers to have were Bass. I don't even know if Bass is in business anymore. We all have Bass loafers.
Well, yeah. You didn't do U.S. Teds, right?
Did you what?
Anyway, never mind. Sorry, sorry, everybody. You know, when the jokes start failing, you need to run away. I suppose. But anyway, so back to business, so to speak, monkey business. Mm-hmm. And therefore, the idea of not being able to be accountable creates a bankruptcy on a constant basis. But the biggest problem is that when they bankrupted it, the one that has resulting circumstances today, we're still in the process of being affected by it. And that's why I start out in my show description, I talk about the Geneva Convention of 1930. That's why I discuss that, because that's a starting point for people to put attention upon, a focus of a starting point. You always need a history to start with, and I start with 1930, so it's not that far back. I mean, creationists start about, 6,000 years ago? I only started about 80 years ago. I am really good tonight, I think, don't you? I really think I'm really razor sharp.
Spot on.
What?
Spot
yeah, I'm
on.
Just smacking everybody around, aren't I? Oh, boy. That is really funny. Well, it's true, though. I mean, the ridiculous part is that we can't keep track of anything. And then we realize that logic is a complete failure. We don't want to hear that. And then the physicists have the uncertainty principles. They're not certain of the world out there. And then most of them are atheists. And now you got the religionists condemning the physicists because they don't believe in the supreme deity. And then time out, I'm not atheist, just for the record. Yeah, I want to make sure people realize that I'm not godless. And so I can actually... in the movie Contact, I can ride that alien craft or whatever. because I want people representing 90% of the world that are theists. Yeah, what did I eat this morning for breakfast, right? Whatever it was, it's pretty good. And
yeah.
I'm also raw vegan for people who don't know that. What's that? I'm sorry.
I said, I guess.
Well, I'm raw vegan for the record. I think you probably know that. I haven't talked about it in a long time. But I eat no cooked food, and I have not eaten cooked food in 10 years. But that's not off the subject of what we talk about, because health is one of the political planks that I added to our discussion here about 5 years ago. I mean, the joke was, and it really is a joke, if you're not healthy, what's the point of politics? If you're dead, right, what's the point of that? So your health really comes first. So then the idea of society and working within society and the parameters thereof in reference to the general tenor of the marketplace, which is in a bankruptcy. And in my opinion, it'll stay that way until the bankers can learn approximate mathematics and they allow for overages in terms of not being able to measure every penny, because it's not possible. It just isn't. In practice, it does not work. It's a great idea, a great theory, but just like the specie currency was a great idea, but in practice, it's a complete and total failure. It just doesn't work. And people say, what are you talking about? Surely there has to be a mathematics that works. We know that mathematicians in college and the professors, they change the books probably annually. They change everything. It's a constant state of flux. So therefore, theoretical mathematics is in flux. Why wouldn't the practice be in flux? If you have a basis of your science, it has no basis, then what you're manifesting that can't have a basis in reality. I mean, really, if the theoretical premise can't have solidity in terms of a knowing parameter we're assured of, then how on earth can the practice be successful? Really, how can it be? If you can't get to a theoretical premise that would be valid, is that pathetic or what? You can't do it. We could have a discussion for weeks regarding the math principle. And I always bring up that analogy with my first physics class. Remember, I keep bringing that up about there were 50 people in a room. You passed out 50 papers, 50 rulers, and 50 pencils and said, measure the top line and pass it in. How many different answers did you get? 50 different answers. So it proved that the giving instructions and explaining things to people, and then when they go to empirically do it, it's a complete failure in terms of measuring things. You're measuring and taking instruction and transferring that information to, and then sending it in was showing that the diversity of the whole thing, or individuality, or just the non-standard practice, the impossible creation of a standard. Now, I always talk about relative standards in terms of common law. We get a commonality between us that we can make an agreement to compromise our individuality to make society. We have to compromise. Otherwise, we have iconoclastic individuals like we have in America with the immaturity of our the marketplace, the people, because they're all on their screens and they're introverted. They can't outflow because of fear, basically. They're afraid of their brethren. Their brothers or neighbors are afraid of everybody. They don't outflow. They don't communicate. Because they're like little children and they're lost, okay? They think somebody's going to hurt them, and therefore they're caught up in their attention is elsewhere. They don't outflow on a daily basis. You just can't do it because it's an immature state. Whereas the farther you go east, they outflow more. And if you smile at an Eastern or an Indian and in the east, they're your best friends. They'll smile back. You smile in America, they think you're some kind of masher or something. Is that an accepted word these days, masher? Or is that an archaic old word, or something like me, an old archaic person, right?
What was the word? I didn't hear it.
Masher. M-A-S-H-E-R, masher.
Yeah, oh, that's masher. When a guy is kind of a womanizer type guy?
Yeah, exactly. I guess I haven't heard that in ages, you know.
Actually, I remember someone used that term probably about 30 years ago. That's the last time I heard it.
Well, I'm dating myself. Well, I'm, you know, I'm not a young person in terms of what they consider to be young nowadays, but I'm fit, I'm in shape. So as far as I'm concerned, you're as old as you feel. I really believe in that proverb. I think it's true. I really do. I think you'd agree with that, right?
Yes, I do agree with that.
Well, thank you. Appreciate that. You wouldn't be willing to elaborate on that to kill some time, right?
If you'd like me to, sure. You know, I like to talk about health. But, you know,
well, sure. I mean, health is one of the planks. We're in time. Go ahead.
My viewpoint is that people need to take responsibility for their health, not rely on what a doctor is going to tell them. I think people need to be responsible at the first level and find out what's wrong with them. And then if there's no alternative and that's what they want to do, they can go to some kind of a health practitioner. And I'm not big on medical practitioners, but I do believe in holistic ones. But I always try to solve the dilemma myself. I do everything I can to do research and if there's any kind of an issue and using either trigger point therapy, nutritional means, whatever, you know, that's completely natural. I will, and most of the time that works. It's 99% of the time. I mean, I haven't gone to a doctor, voluntarily gone to a doctor in probably 10 or 12 years. I did go to a doctor when I lived in Europe because I had a doctor who was a homeopathic doctor as well as an acupuncturist and a medical doctor, but I always asked her to treat me through natural means first, and that always worked.
But I have a question for you. Do you consider your stance on this provocative? Having known you for a long time, I think you're not necessarily a provocative person in the face of orthodox medicine and things of nature. So what you're saying, don't you consider that provoking the standard common...
It's probably provocative, right? To most people. I'm guessing it probably is provocative to most people because most people immediately go to the doctor. They don't try to see what's wrong with themselves. They just take the doctor's word for it that they've got this or they got that. But, you know, if you read online, there's so many misdiagnosed people and surgeries that are done that are unnecessarily. I mean, there's so many mishaps. I just don't understand why people just take and what did I read somewhere that a huge number of people that are diagnosed with cancer don't really have it. I can't remember what the percentage was, but it was surprising. So,
online is getting to bring a lot of awareness of these things out. I do appreciate mm-hmm. that from that standpoint, that the computer has brought more awareness of it. At the same time, having said that, it's interesting how that medical industry, I call it, is a trillion-dollar lobby, you know. I mean, it's huge politically, and therefore, when you smack and you stand in the face of the whole thing, it's kind of interesting. I'm okay with it. You know, my opinion is I agree with that. I agree, but at the same time, most people have their family doctor, and you know, they're in the immunization stuff, and they're forcing children to do all these things, and so there's kind of a big national socialism, I'll say, involved with it, which is really a nice way of putting it, okay? And if people know what that is. But I'm just saying that there has to, my viewpoint is interference. The meeting this morning, I was talking about the arbitrators interfering. In other words, civil servants versus civil authority, if they come in and arbitrate without permission. Okay, so an ideal situation is that if we need help in a compelled benefit way that exists, something that exists that we need to utilize, for instance, anything around us that we need, if we need to use it as a compelled benefit, we're compelled to utilize it. So therefore, the arbitrators and the governments interfere without permission, and I think that's completely wrong. I think that people are entitled to their privacy, but they invoke all this business of coming in and policing things. And I think that's wrong. it's been wrong in history and always will be in terms of individual privileges, or I'd say the birthright, I'll say. The problem is they get this mixed up in terms of plurality of rights, and that's a big problem. And why that's kind of a laugher, because outside of the birthright, you don't have a plurality of rights. You have privileges issued by the government, privileges, licenses of use. So if you can get that protocol right, then the entity wouldn't be making light of it. They wouldn't consider people non-compass mentalists or mentally incompetent if they got the superstructure correct, but they don't. See, people run around going, I have rights to do this. You don't have rights. You have privileges. And so therefore, again, if you get the language correct, then the entity will respect you. But it won't if you're running around being stupid. And I say that safely because it is stupidity when you don't know the proper phraseology of the information. And it's important. It truly is. But, again, in courtrooms, they say you're supposed to stay mute, and then you get an assistance by a lawyer. And then they say if you don't do that, there's a 13-step protocol. If you don't adhere to the law, then you're considered incompetent. See what I mean? So that's a problem in reference to you want to go and represent yourself, you pro se or pro per, proper person, and not have a assistance of counsel, because now you're, by doing that, now you're considered ward of the state and incompetent. See, so you need not to do that. You want to represent yourself under Uniform Commercial Code, all right? And especially notice of dishonor. You do not get involved with their jurisdiction in any way. You stay away from it. And people don't understand that because they think that the courts are going to help them. And they could if they were practicing their proper compelled benefit of being a non-obtrusive arbitrator. In other words, coming in if you need help. You see what I mean? And you call the police because you have some problems, all right? I understand that. At the same time, if you can't work it out yourself, then you need the arbitrator. But not until then. See, to intrude in a situation is none of their business. But people don't get that because it's an immature state. They think that everybody's a bunch of children and they need to be parented by the government. You see, when in reality, we create the government through pure trust provisions. If you understand that, then we understand the power is in power to the people, right? There you go.
There you go.
See what I mean? But they have to be aware of how to utilize that power. See, not in a forceful situation, but to wield the proper language and the proper protocols of a pure trust law or understanding about international bankruptcy under Uniform Commercial Code. So when you understand that, then there's a confidence level that rises in terms of issuing notice of dishonor, that anything you're challenged with, you send that to them. You see what I mean? And notice of dishonor, which is Uniform Commercial Code 3-503, 504, and 505, they all mention notice of dishonor in those sections, and that actually trumps any sort of challenge. You may not be able to do it immediately. It just doesn't cut it off, but you have to keep at it. You have to stay on point, as they say, or stay on task. Stay on task with the UCC, and it will work eventually if it doesn't work the first time. So that's a very important lead-in about international law and subjects on this program in terms of really being politics more so than the law. But it's interspersed. I don't know how they can categorically call the law and not politics intermixed because, you know, lawyers run for office, right, as we have right now. and sometimes they're very ill, too, and old,
mm-hmm.
older than me, if you can believe that. Both the candidates are, yeah, that's hard. You consider old as Methuselah, right?
Right.
It's not much said about him too in the Old Testament. Over 900 years old, and people say, "Oh, it's a different time and measured differently." Oh, what does that mean? Can you tell me how they measured? It's so ridiculous.
I have no idea.
It truly is. I know. It's a different subject entirely. All right, so I'm done for today. I guess we have 5 minutes left. I'll end the show. No, I'm kidding. I think that we've given out some good information tonight, maybe relatively new. I know the analogies are funny, right? Earlier on. So I highly recommend to replay this one. What? Go
absolutely.
Ahead.
No, I think it was very funny. And
thank
I'm
you
sending
very much.
It in for the funniest blog talk radio show. I'm starting a contest for one of the funniest blog talk radio shows, and I'm going to send yours in.
All right. Thank you very much.
It's a competition.
I thought it was good.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. All right. Well, again, we talked about health, and that's the first plank. And then we often talk about sovereignty, which is the second one, and solvency and Aphian shadow. And Aphian shadow is a fancy word for really not recognizing individuals when they do economic demolition. So they knock down buildings without evacuation. Because if you evacuate things, then there's an awareness of a situation instead of making it look like an accident. You see what I mean? So my opinion is, in lieu of that, it would be better to give a little awareness of what's going on than to kill somebody. See what I mean? But the issue becomes that we're like ants in sociology, that people aren't really important, especially when you have the mass populations that you have now, and they get into this discussion in sociology about genocide and all this stuff. And that becomes an issue that if you have 100 people in a room, I don't think we're going to get many volunteers to be offed, right? Like offed.
Mm-hmm.
OFFED is a word off. There's OFT, right? Off.
And I don't know if it's an actual word.
Yeah, in other words, I don't think people are going to raise their hand to be, can we get some sacrificial lambs in the rooms? Do we need 10%, 10 of you to raise your hand? I don't think you're getting many takers on that, do you?
No, of course not.
See, that's why, sociology is ridiculous because they actually discuss that, you know, getting rid of population and just doffing it off like people are unimportant. And that's the fianchetto. And I say non-fianchetto or a-fianchetto is the issue about not sacrificing anybody for the benefit of the whole. And you see what I mean? That whole thing about sacrificing people is ridiculous. And even Star Trek caved into that years ago when they finally went after Spock. That the one out of the many is what it really means. E pluribus unum doesn't mean that America's one out of the many. It doesn't mean that. It's always a misinterpretation of languages and cross-referencing, transliterating, and everything else. It's a huge mess. It means individuality needs to be respected and should be respected. No matter what, we protect that individual privileges, and the individual birthright needs to be protected. But we don't do that. You see what I mean? Because we misinterpret our phraseology, as I said earlier. We misinterpret the language, and then now we deal in logical ambiguity, meaning we don't understand, we'll continue not to understand, and then the ones who have guns and chains, whatever their words are the official terminology. That's why we can challenge it with 3-503 because it is a law. All right, Gabby, thank you for being on the show this week. I appreciate your presence and your commentary, as usual.
Well, thank you. I appreciate the opportunity, as always.
All right. And I want to thank the journeymen and to come on each week, and also the new people. It's nice to have new people to come on the show. And I appreciate your presence because it's a real honor and privilege to feel my information. Oh, my. Well, if you laugh a lot, it'll kill about 10 or 20 seconds, right?
Yes.
It's very important. You know, we need to kill time here on the show.
Like having a good laugh. So everyone go out.
That's right.
This week. Thinking about having every day, you should have a good laugh.
Yes, we should have a good laugh every day. All right, so we're getting down the last few seconds. And again, thank everybody for being here. And we are getting moving down here. This is Grantham Taylor Hughes for my show. We'll see you next week. And goodbye for now.